The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget our carry-on commentaries. They air daily, three times a day, right here on KNSS. Listen for those. I record them just for you. There's some good ones. There's some good ones coming out this week, by the way. Studio lines are open 316-869-1330. Would love to hear from you. Well, back in June, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland rejected accusations by House Republicans that he had politicized the criminal justice system in a bid to stop Donald Trump from reclaiming the White House. In defiant testimony, Garland told lawmakers he would not allow politics to interfere with the Justice Department's independent criminal investigations. What a joke. And he accused them of peddling conspiracy theories. But judging by the results of the November elections, America just wasn't buying it. With us now to discuss lawfare versus justice in America is former presidential legal advisor John Eastman. He is a distinguished constitutional scholar, attorney, and former law professor with a career marked by deep commitment to upholding the principles of the Constitution. John, thank you for joining us this evening. Merry Christmas, and thank you for being with us tonight.
John, thank you for having me on the show, and Merry Christmas to you and everyone in your audience as well.
So it seems to me, John, that many Americans look at this and say that attorneys representing conservative clients are being unfairly targeted by a politically biased legal system. That, at least, that's the way I've seen it. You don't see them, the FBI, the Department of Justice, you don't see them targeting liberals, but it does sure seem like they're going after conservatives. Am I wrong?
Well, having been on the receiving end of that lawfare, I don't think you're wrong at all. Look, in 2016, we had the biggest political scandal in our nation's history, funneling money through a Perkins Coie law firm to hire a foreign intelligence officer to create a false dossier to try and show that President Trump was, you know, a puppet of the Russians. It was completely false. And Adam Schiff, now U.S. Senator, Eric Swalwell,
who slept with a Chinese spy, by the way.
Yeah, they were involved in this up to their eyeballs. They used that false story to spy on their opposing political candidate. They continued to spy on him after he was elected, and then they continued to spy on him after he was inaugurated. This is the biggest political scandal in our history, and the only punishment that has been meted out is a slap on the wrist of one guy who actually doctored a document to get a FISA warrant. The Department of Justice is already weaponized, and these claims that Trump is going to weaponize it are laughable. It's the greatest example of a psychiatric projection I've ever seen.
Well, and frankly, this bias undermines public confidence in the whole system. I mean, you've got Robert Ray, who's saying that he's going to quit the FBI when Trump comes in. Well, great, because frankly, we wanted you out anyway. But how sad is it that the American people have lost faith in the FBI, that we've lost faith in the impartiality of the courts? I mean, when Fannie Willis is sleeping with her employee and prosecuting, you've got Bragg up in New York prosecuting these completely bogus cases. And yet they're the ones pontificating about how they're, the beacons of justice in the country.
Well, that's true. And I think one of the reasons they were trying so hard to keep Trump off the ballot, to keep him from winning, is because he learned enough in his first 4 years there to know where bodies are buried and know how the deep state operates. And he's not going to tolerate it this time. And look, you've got a top official of the Department of Justice taking a downgrade in pay to go work for Alvin Bragg. Tell me that's not coordinated effort
right.
to go after Trump.
Right.
You had Nathan Wade, Fannie Willis's lover down in Georgia, who was paid $750,000 and then took her on lavish vacations, billing for a full day of meetings at the White House counsel's office, billing Fannie Willis's DA's office for work on the criminal prosecution against President Trump and me and Mark Meadows. And he says, well, those meetings had nothing to do with it. Well, that means he's violating his ethical rules and falsely billing. I mean, of course it had something to do with it. This was a coordinated conspiracy to try and keep Trump from the White House no matter what, deploying false criminal charges. It was a racketeering statute, a statute that was designed to go after the mob, treating the group of people, half of the country almost, who raised questions about the 2020 election as if it were a criminal enterprise. The obstruction charge brought against all the J6ers and against President Trump by Jack Smith, that was a mob witness intimidation statute that they distorted to try and go after President Trump as
right.
well as everybody else. I mean, they are distorting our law. They're violating the Fourth Amendment against general warrants. They're intruding on people's free speech and free petition the government for redress of grievances rights. They're trying to deprive people of attorneys to represent them in violation of the Sixth Amendment. I mean, they're just shredding the Constitution left and right. That's why this group out of Hollywood saw my story and said, we're going to do a documentary on this, and we're going to expose the lawfare that's going on so that the whole country can see it and put a stop to it. And the documentary premieres at Mar-a-Lago on January 4th. That's going to be great fun. And then it goes live January 6th for streaming on madisonmediagroup.org. And people can watch this thing. It's called Eastman Dilemma, Lawfare or Justice. And I hope everybody watches it. And I hope everybody starts pushing back against what we're dealing with. And by the way, we're not making this up.
No.
One of the leaders of the group, the 65 Project, is one of the well-funded leftist organizations going after all the attorneys. And one of the leaders of it said, our goal is not just to get all of them disbarred, but to make them so toxic in their firms and their communities that they won't want to ever take on these kind of cases again. They're trying to prevent law firms and lawyers from representing conservative clients and causes.
Well, this
and
is the same.
Think about what that means for the rule of law.
This is the same Justice Department that sent FBI agents after parents because they dared to speak up at school board meetings. So why this shouldn't surprise anyone. We're talking with former presidential legal advisor John Eastman. John, so let's assume, thank goodness we won the election in November, or this would have just continued. In fact, I think under Kamala Harris, it would have only gotten worse. So I'm assuming that things will get better under the Trump administration. Are you pleased with the choices, for example, of Kash Patel to head the FBI, Pam Bondi to head the Department of Justice. Is that the first step in fixing all this?
Well, I think it is, and they need to be aggressive. They need to go in steeled for the onslaught of criticism that's going to come from the from the establishment media. I don't call them mainstream media because they're so disconnected from a mainstream America. That's hardly a right knower. The legacy media or the statist media, better description. I'm also very excited about Harmeet Dhillon going to be head of the Civil Rights Division at the Department of Justice.
Right.
I'm anxious to see who gets named as head of the Criminal Division. I haven't seen that yet. I'm pleased with the pick for the White House Counsel. I'm very pleased with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy in running this Department of Government Efficiency. And then the team over at OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, that will actually be the people that have to implement their recommendations. And that's just a stellar group. Ross Voight, Mark Papagna is the general counsel. Russ Voight is the director. And Ed Martin is the chief of staff. I mean, that's a powerhouse group, and I think they're going to go in with a mission to fix some of these problems.
Well, John, I appreciate you again for joining us this evening. Again, the documentary is called The Eastman Dilemma, Lawfare or Justice. If folks are interested, if they want more information, if they want to take a look at it, and of course, then once it's live, if they want to check it out, where's the best place for them to go to get some information?
So media, madisonmediagroup.org is where the information about the movie is. And then I have regular updates on what we're dealing with at my Legal Defense Fund site. And that is givesendgo.com/Eastman. People can help us with finances. They can send us prayers. But most importantly, they can read up there the updates we provide so that people know what's going on.
John, I appreciate you. It's a pleasure having you on the show, my friend. And of course, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you so much, Ed.
We'll take a quick break, and when we return, we'll review the recently released record-setting abortion statistics released by the state of Kansas with Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Americans for Prosperity believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. It's a great organization, a community of millions of concerned citizens just like you. If you want to get involved, if you want to make your voice heard, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, earlier this month, after more than 6 months of stonewalling, the Kelly administration's Department of Health and Environment finally released the 2023 abortion statistics for Kansas. So, you know, sometime next year, around this time, we'll get the 2024 numbers, which will no doubt be stratospheric. It's worth noting that these statistics were intentionally held until after the election. Wouldn't want to impact those elections, after all. With us now to review the numbers is Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life. Danielle, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, John. It's a pleasure to be with you, and Merry Christmas back to you.
So here's the headline, sad as it may be, Danielle. Kansas provided more. This is the headline from, sadly, the Topeka Capital Journal. Kansas provided more abortions in 2023 than ever before. Mostly for out-of-state patients. And that was the headline. And, you know, how sad is that?
It's heartbreaking, yeah. 78% of those abortions were performed on out-of-state residents. And when we, you know, take a step back and we look at that overall number, sometimes it's hard to even wrap our minds around what a number like that looks like. And I think, you know, for those of us, you know, thinking about it tonight, we can just... If you've ever been in, Wichita's Intrust Bank Arena, or if you've ever been in Allen Fieldhouse, if you could imagine that stadium completely empty and see all those seats, you would then begin to really take in what that means. It's heartbreaking.
Wow. So that's the number. The Intrust Bank Arena filled with empty seats, or conversely, the Intrust Bank Arena filled with babies, living babies, if we could be.
Yes. Yeah. So that total number, right. So we're talking past capacity. We would be talking spilling out the doors and into the hallways and into the parking lot. 19,467 total abortions. So it is a really sad, heartbreaking number that, I mean, we knew this was coming. This is not a shock to us because, you know, we'd seen some estimates going forward. Now we have the official stats, and this just shows us once again why it's so important that we have state statistics to tell us what's truly going on in our state. And, you know, the bottom line is that women deserve better than this.
Yeah.
They deserve better than to be exploited by a system that makes its money by putting their lives and their futures at risk, and is just heartless for the lives of all of those lost children.
Yeah, a lot of people are Planned Parenthood getting rich off of this. And, you know, if you look at this, the 2023 figure represents a 53% increase from the number in 2022 and a 148% increase from the number in 2021. And again, the report shows that less than a fourth of those patients who received abortions at Kansas clinics were in-state residents. So much like we were afraid back before, you know, the Value Them Both amendment, we have become, Kansas has become an abortion tourist state.
But hope is not lost.
No.
You know, this is a hopeful season for us, and we've got to remember that the tide is turning. I do think, I mean, the last election showed us that Kansans still very much are supporting all of the legislators that have gone to bat for the last two legislative sessions. For those seven pro-life protections that we have been passing. Those are the things that were carefully drafted to be able to hopefully withstand our extremist activist state Supreme Court that has been, you know, wanting to dismantle all of these pro-life laws that we had previously passed. So, you know, we have to remember that we've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep working to ensure that our state doesn't continue to be the abortion destination of the Midwest. And we can do that. We are not giving up hope. We know that there are, you know, some good things that are happening, and a lot of people are waking up to those misinformation campaigns that the abortion industry was so successfully running through not just our state, but a lot of other states that, you know, they came into with so many ads as different ballot different amendments were coming up onto people's ballots. And so many people had been misled by them for so long. And I do think that people are now waking up to how extreme their true intentions are, not just for our state, but really for our country.
No, and you know, one of the things that also in that Cap Journal article was the fact that there are three new clinics that have opened in Kansas, which sadly means that only, you know, these numbers are only going to go up. The abortion on demand industry is booming. But you're right. There are good things on the horizon, and there's things that we can do about it. I know one of the things, you guys have some great new events at Kansans for Life, has some great new events coming up in 24, I know, or 25 rather. You've got the March for Life that is just around the corner. You've got the banquets both here in Wichita and in Kansas City, and a golf tournament, all of which is not too far. I mean, within 90 days or a couple, you know, 4 months, something like that, in 2025, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We've got a lot of things coming up. I think first thing is, you know, if you all are interested in this, if you are pro-life, you believe that, you know, we got to keep going. We got to keep with the progress we've been making, and we've got to continue to amplify that. We need to strengthen our legislators for this session ahead. Then you're going to want to come out on Wednesday, January 29th to Topeka and come to the March and Rally for Life. It should be an amazing day. I think it's going to be a very powerful event, hopefully even extra powerful. And we would love to have you come. It's going to be in the middle of the day. It's a great moment each year where we get to meet and greet all of these state legislators who are going to be going to bat for those pro-life protections. So exciting things ahead, and that'll be the first thing that you can do is to just take a day away from whatever else you have planned and come out and join this March and Rally for Life. Hopefully we'll have thousands of people out there, so you'll be in great company. And you can find all that information on our website at kfl.org.
That's what I was going to ask. I've been to that March for Life. You're right. There's usually a massive crowd, and it is like-minded individuals. But it's also a great way to reinforce your legislators. A lot of them are new. A lot of these folks are freshmen. They've got a good-sized freshman crowd, and they need that reinforcement. They need that reminder. You know, that keep in mind, folks, that those same legislators are also going to get the massive KNEA rally, the folks up there in their red shirts, and the Moms Demand Action folks up there in their orange shirts. So it's good for us to go up there as pro-life advocates and remind them about what's really important to them. So again, the March for Life coming up at the end of January. Give us that website one more time, Danielle.
You betcha. It's kfl.org.
Danielle, thank you again for joining us this evening. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule on a Sunday night, and want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, John. Back to you.
We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then Bill Pasco from Tea Party Patriots Action will join us to discuss Joe Biden's attempt to sell off parts of the border wall. I knew they were desperate for money, but seriously? Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And as always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, President-elect Donald Trump has taken legal action to stop the Biden administration from selling off unused border wall materials. On Wednesday, Trump filed an amicus brief in the Southern District of Texas, urging a federal judge to halt the sale of surplus materials initially designated for the U.S.-Mexico border wall. With us now is Bill Pasco, Tea Party Patriots Action's spokesperson, to try and explain what the Biden administration might have been. Well, we know what they were doing. Bill, thank you for joining us. 2 weeks in a row. This is great. Merry Christmas, brother. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Good to be with you again, John. How are you tonight?
Fine, thank you. So, I mean, I'm just a bit of a cynic, but I find it hard to believe that this was anything but a naked attempt by the Biden administration to just make things harder on the Trump administration. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me this. It sure seems like they were just trying to basically screw over Trump.
John, will you listen with an open mind?
Yes. Okay.
Of course you will. Of course you will, because we always have conversations where we're willing to look for the facts. That's the key.
Yes.
Okay. Everything that you just said is a reasonable interpretation if you're only looking at part of the picture. And unfortunately, I got to tell you, a lot of conservative audiences have only been given a part of the picture. And I'm going to explain very simply. If you look at a glass and there's water up to the halfway line on that glass,
right,
it would be reasonable to describe that glass as a glass that's half full. It would also be reasonable to describe it as a glass that's half empty.
Right. Yep. Yep. Okay. I'm a half full kind of guy, but.
Okay. I'm a guy who looks at that glass and says, well, that's a glass that's twice as big as it needs to be. But here's the other side of the picture that you haven't been given that may change your perception of what's going on here. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. The one big takeaway is that there's a big difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump when it comes to building a border wall. Trump is in favor of it. Biden was opposed to it.
Correct.
Trump Trump spent 4 years in office trying to get the Congress to appropriate money to build a border wall. For the first 2 years of his first term, he had a Republican House that appropriated money to do just that. For the last 2 years of his first term, he had a Democrat House that would not do that. Then Biden came into office, and Biden's first 2 years were with a Democrat House that wanted to help him not build border wall. But then he had 2 years of a Republican House that wanted him to build border wall, right? Okay, so that's our sequence of events. Here's the takeaway. Trump got a lot of money spent to construct the border wall, but they couldn't actually finish the border wall. He got about 455 miles of border wall constructed.
Right.
He was able to buy material for another 250 miles, but they didn't have time to actually construct all that border wall. So you've got supply depots full of tens of thousands of pounds of this steel bollard material that they used to make the wall. And that's in New Mexico, that's in Arizona, that's in Texas. It's all over the place. Biden comes in, and on the first day in office, because Biden is opposed to building any border wall, he signs an executive order that says, stop all construction on the border wall immediately. Lay down your hammers and step off the ladders, and everybody move away from the wall. Step away from the wall. 2 years later, Republicans take control of the House, and they look at the situation. They say, my God, we've got steel all over the Southwest that is just rusting, because the Biden administration will not do anything with it. That's wrong. That's a waste of taxpayer dollars. We can understand they don't want to build border wall, but for crying out loud, we've spent hundreds of millions of dollars, about $350 million worth of steel was left to rot and rust in the sun. So they passed a bill about a year ago now, the National Defense Authorization Act for 2024 contained a provision that told the Department of Defense, you're in charge of this stuff. We want to see plans, and we want to see plans within 60 days. I think the law said 60 days. We want to see plans to distribute or sell this material. Give it to the states. Give it to Arizona. Give it to New Mexico. Give it to Texas. They'll find a use for it.
Yeah, they'll build a wall with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because this is a Republican House, and that's exactly what they were thinking. You're exactly right, John. Give it to them, and if you can't give it away, then sell it. Well, they ended up giving away about 60% of the material. The other 40% they sold in the spring of 2024. Months ago, they sold it to an outfit called GovPlanet, which is a subsidiary of another company. It's a private company, in other words. So what we've been reading about, and this is where we get to the half full or half empty, it depends on your perception. What we've been reading about, there are auctions that have been taking place of the unused border wall material. Unfortunately, those aren't auctions that are actually being run by the U.S. government. They're auctions that are being run by this private company. Hmm. The government no longer has anything to do with this stuff. It sold the material. So we're now in a situation where the ultimate takeaway is the voters decided that they wanted border wall built. How do we know? Because that was one of the things at the very top of the list of things that you knew you were going to get if you voted for Donald Trump, and the majority
right.
voted for Donald Trump.
Exactly.
They spoke very clearly. So in less than 30 days, we're going to have a new president, and we're going to start building border wall again. That's what your listeners need to know.
And in the end, will they be getting this stuff back, do you think, or they'll have to turn around and buy it back?
I think they're going to get some of this stuff back, but I think we're going to have to buy an awful lot of border wall material all over again.
I mean, this is, and you know, sadly, this is typical of this administration and their attitude. By the way, I appreciate the explanation for all of this, but it also belies the thought process behind this administration. Well, we don't need a wall. We didn't want a wall. They wanted open borders, and that's what they got.
You're exactly right. And we need to remember, this is an example of the old axiom in Washington. Elections have consequences.
Yes. Yep.
You know, 4 years ago, Joe Biden got to sit in the White House, and he spent 4 years. He will have spent 1,460 days in the White House as president of the United States, and his policy rules ruled. And his policy was no border wall. We want to open borders. We want to let 10 million illegal immigrants come into the border and come across the border. And that's exactly what happened. We've never seen an influx like this. And I think it's fair to say that's at least part of why Donald Trump just won the election a month ago. because people looked at that and said, holy smokes, we can't let that go on. We need border wall. Who's the guy who wants it? Oh, Trump. That's right. Yeah, I'm voting for that guy.
Bill, I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you again for joining us. If folks are interested, if they want to connect with Tea Party Patriots Action, what's the best way for them to find you?
On the web, teapartypatriots.org. Very simple, teapartypatriots.org. Good to be with you, John.
Yes, brother, I appreciate you. Thanks again. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I couldn't help myself. Sorry. I just had to do it. Screw the woke. By the way, if you want to download that, you can get it off of my Twitter feed at John R. Whitmer on X.
John, that's number one with a bullet now.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
That's a goodie. Carry On Commentaries, our 60-second daily feature. Don't forget to listen to those. And don't forget the Sedgwick County Republican Party holiday end-of-the-year event coming up on Saturday the 28th from 2 to 5 at the Estes office at Douglas and Webb. If you'd like the information on that event, you can find that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So let me just share. I don't know if you're familiar with this. It came out it just came out this week. According to an explosive new report in the Wall Street Journal, the White House aides hid Joe Biden's apparent mental decline from day one of his presidency. The journal report reveals White House aides covered up President Biden's apparent mental decline from day one, shielding the aging commander in chief from exposure. A big shock here. According to the Wall Street Journal and this report, and it's bad, by the way, if you haven't read this, you really should, because it's pretty toxic. According to the journal, a national security official told, and this was under, of course, condition of condition of anonymity. According to the journal, a national security official told an aide at the time, quote, he has good days and bad days, and today was a bad day, so we're going to address this tomorrow. I mean, how sad is that? Yeah.
And so this starts with the aides, and then it bleeds into other parts of the administration. Your White House press secretary, who was fibbing to us.
Oh, fibbing. You're being nice. They've been flat out lying.
On a daily basis. And then you've got John Kirby. You've got
Karine Jean-Pierre and Kamala Harris, for that matter.
Yes.
Right. They've all been lying to us. And you know what's funny is for years now, Donald Trump has been blamed for, quote, the big lie. January 6th, I'm sorry, folks. This is the big lie.
Yeah.
This. That Joe Biden is mentally competent. That Joe Biden is fit for the office. This is the big lie. This has to be the greatest cover-up in political history.
It's amazing. This was happening to us in front of our own eyes. We saw it on a daily basis from him getting on or off Air Force One, depending on which day it was, to his speech, to we all saw it. As the American people, we all saw it. However, the press
covered it up.
Covered it up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't see anything.
Yeah, believe your lying eyes.
Just keep walking.
Let's see. Meetings were often rescheduled for later in the day, a fact that was first disclosed after, obviously, the debate flop. It was hard to continue lying after that. President-elect, after the debate, when staff admitted then-Democratic nominee of Joe Biden had difficulty functioning outside a six-hour window that closed around 4 p.m. daily. This is, again, all according to the Wall Street Journal. Once inside the room with the president, officials were instructed to make their briefings short and to the point. Private discussions with even some of his top cabinet picks, including Treasury Secretary and Defense Secretary grew more infrequent. One cabinet official eventually stopped reaching out to schedule talks with the commander-in-chief after having been repeatedly rebuffed. I mean, how bad is that? A senior cabinet official just stops going to check in. So basically, they're just running the ship without him at that point. The White House also hired a voice coach, Hollywood mogul and campaign co-chairman Jeffrey Katzenberg, to try and improve Biden's faint, raspy tone, which I remember when he started whispering a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently that was as part of this. They wanted to help him, so they brought in a voice coach to help him. I mean, this is all I have not read this the article, but I'm the New York Post has got a summary of it here, and that's what I'm reading from. But the signs have been there throughout the term in office. He was frequently relied on note cards, was spotted having large directions printed for him, markings on the floor so he knew where to walk, often mixed up the names of foreign dignitaries or other facts, and drifted, went off script, and ignored his teleprompter. I mean, it's, again, this what you were saying about this is nothing that we haven't seen, mm-hmm. but it's rare to actually have somebody, White House staffers, admit it, finally.
Amazing that we're getting this a month before he leaves office and not a month after he got into office.
Yeah, well, I wonder who's got a book coming out first. You know, because that's, you know, what former White House staffer is going to, you know, get the first $1 million deposit in order to come up with a book on this thing.
I will say it's amazing that this was brought up in the Wall Street Journal of all news rags. The New York Post, I get that, but the Wall Street Journal is usually leans a little more left of center. So to have this come out, well, CNN has also started, saying a little bit more than we normally expect from CNN.
Well, they know he's gone. Yeah. They know the damage is done. There's nothing that can be done to save him. So, you know, throw out the trash. Mm-hmm. Again, for me, what this comes down to is for years they've been talking, you know, and I guess, you know, to some extent, John Eastman mentioned it, the Russia hoax. There have been all these things that Trump was accused of lying about this, and Trump was accused of this and that and the other. They all pale in comparison to a president who, frankly, is incompetent and incoherent and unfit for the job, and yet you allowed him to serve for God knows how long. Mm-hmm. You ever see the movie Dave?
Yes. I love that movie.
Great movie. For those of you who don't know the movie, the president's name is Dave. And the president, Dave whatever, has a serious debilitating heart attack. And so the White House staffers, before he had his heart attack, Dave was having an affair. And so what they would do is they would bring in this guy who runs a temp agency who looks just like the president to do walkbys so that the president could sneak upstairs to sleep with his intern. Okay. Well, during one of these dalliances, he has a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So then in the movie, they bring in the lookalike to pretend to be the president so that they don't have to give up being president. Well, this is what this reminds me of.
It does, yeah.
It reminds me of the movie Dave, where his staff covered up for years. It's not an understatement to say years. We can't say 4 years, but we're at least looking at two, probably, where they covered up Joe Biden's mental incapacity in order to retain the reins of power.
Yeah, his cognitive deficiencies really started to show themselves in the last 2 years of his presidency.
Yeah, I would say that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was always a little slow, but whatever. But certainly the last couple of years, as you saw the infrequent press access to the press, he wouldn't do public appearances, wouldn't do interviews except with very, straightforward media that were giving him underhanded pitches. So it's just very interesting. I'm really curious. I cannot wait for the first tell-all book to come out where somebody gets honest with people. So folks,
We will be with you next Sunday, but in the meantime, have a very, very Merry Christmas and just have a very safe holiday. Enjoy your Christmas gatherings, and we'll be here next Sunday, regular time.
Hey, hey.
Looking forward to. All righty. Merry Christmas. Enjoy family time with family.